Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the afternoon to you, Greg. How you doing, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I am well. I'm well.
Yeah? Yeah. You're hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there.
Let's see if you're hanging in there after we get to what we're talking about to start with. All right. Don't worry about that. Of course, over there. I said, excuse me, I have the floor. Over there, in some great glasses, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, rootin' tootin', nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Good afternoon.
It's good to see you too. I'm ready for your UN address here in a second. And then, of course, he's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Feeling great today, Greg. Great afternoon to you and all involved.
Thank you. Great afternoon to everybody involved. You know what I mean? Here's what we're going to do. Andy Cortez, I've said for years, you're the most even keel of all of us. You understand the world in a way that just water off a duck's back. You know what I mean? Nothing gets to you. You kind of are like the watcher, except you only see our universe and only from your room and only what we tell you and what we show you.
I just observe, yeah.
That makes sense.
If I'm not told something, I don't know about it. So that's kind of not like the watcher.
As you know, Andy, we are hurtling towards October 14th when we are all reintroduced to each other. You know what I mean? We're all put back into the same zoo display. All of us come back into the new studio. We have a great time. It's going to be a marathon stream. Everybody go watch the promo video and get excited for us to be back together in the new studio. Andy, I have terrible news about two people we work with.
Oh.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Snowbike Mike and Nick Scarpino. Mm-hmm. I would believe the problem with both of them is psychoses. Mm-hmm. And sure. Yeah. I think Nick is lower on the problem scale, but both need to be addressed on this episode of the Kind of Funny Podcast. So Andy, as the watcher of our world, I turn to you and I say, who do you want to start with?
I mean, it's one of those, like, I'm trying to compare this to, do you want the bad or good news first? But like, they're both just awful. So
yeah,
I'll go with Nick first, I guess. I'll go with Mike first, and then we can talk about Nick, who's here in the room with us.
Mm-hmm. All right, sure. That makes more sense. Are you aware, Andy,
probably.
Nick, and Tim, that Snowbike Mike is a psychopath?
Yeah, we know. Mm-hmm. Well aware. Yeah. Yeah, we understand.
What's
well
your aware. Founding evidence of this, Nick?
I have a couple pieces that have shown themselves over the years.
Sure. Okay.
One of which is he refers to everyone as his best friend until that person's not in the room anymore, and then they're no longer his best friend.
That then they're jabronis. Psychopath. Then they're jabronis.
Yeah, then just jabronis. Sure. Okay. I thought for the longest time that I was in Mike's good graces until it got back to me that behind my back and unbeknownst to anyone else, he referred to me as limp, both metaphorically and physically.
It was now, if I could quote, it was limp back, limp dick.
Holy shit.
Yes.
I also love that Nick just said that he referred to himself as metaphorically limp.
Yes, like, you know,
spiritually,
yeah. Figuratively, metaphorically, limp. And I just know Mike. I know that Mike, for instance, here's a perfect example.
We talked to him a lot.
I spent a lot of time.
But it's like, I understand that he's got the character. You know what I mean? The tarantulas, the not picking up the statue from Andy's house. Like, I understand all of that.
No, those are different ball games.
That's not a thing, dude.
I have had the pleasure and at times horror of driving Mike on long journeys twice in the past week, all right?
Sure.
Once to go see some WWE stuff, once to go down to an Electronic Arts tour because he's a big EA fan, all right? It's hard to even put you in the right mindset
for it. What you're doing,
But on the way, I pick him up at his house, to go to see Monday Night Raw. Tim, did we have a great time Monday Night Raw?
We had a great time watching Monday Night Raw, Greg.
When he comes out of the house and he's got the sweatshirt under his arm, balled up, and I'm like, great move. You know, you live in the Bay, you know, whether 5 minutes from wherever you are might be a different microclimate. You gotta layer. You gotta be 100%. Ready. Mm-hmm. Sweatshirt under his arm, t-shirt on, his basketball shorts on. And I'm like, all right, let's rock Monday Night Raw.
He asked me, Andy, should I wear jeans to this? Yeah, and we all said, yes, you should wear jeans. Because not only is it going to be chilly outside, but it's going to be chilly in that arena. Right, so you're telling me he didn't wear the fucking jeans that he asked for advice for?
He was laden in those BBSs, man.
God damn it.
We get to San Jose, and I park the car, and we're meeting up with Tim G and Cool Greg at a little restaurant, a fine dining establishment called BJ's Brewhouse.
Love it.
We go in there. You know, time didn't work out for us to eat there. We'll eat at the thing, the arena, but we BS around. We say, hey, to everybody, we're happy to be there. We walk back out, and Mike's like, I want to get my sweatshirt from the car. I'm like, of course. Cool Greg comes over with us, marvels at my amazing mini. G and Tim go off to their car to get something else. I assume to feed the dogs they probably had in the trunk.
I'm surprised he didn't leave his phone in the car.
And we get there, and I open the trunk to let Mike get his stuff, or maybe it was in the back seat. I was pulling something out of my trunk to show Cool Greg. I have Ghostbuster magnets I put on the side of my car. Don't worry about it. And while I show Cool Greg the mini dressed up as the Ecto-1. He loves it. I walk to the back, and Mike comes from the back door over to the back of the trunk and is conversating with us, at which point he puts his sweatshirt and jeans into the open trunk and takes off his basketball shorts in the parking lot of BJ's Brewhouse.
Sure.
And another group of five or so individuals come by and do the look of, that's a grown man in his boxer shorts, his jockeys, in the parking lot of the BJ's Brewhouse here in San Jose. And Mike puts on his pants, his jeans, does the belt, tosses his clothes into the back of the car. We shut it. Me, him, and Cool Greg walk back to Tim and Gia and walk to the show and have a lovely time. And this is never brought up. This is never mentioned in public conversation.
So this very much seems like something that you do maybe when you're picked up from basketball practice and you don't have time to
in
make
the fifth
a change.
Grade.
In the fifth grade, sure.
Again,
I'm not sure what was preventing him from just wearing them the whole time. If anything, he just made things more inconvenient for him. That's
this
one
morning.
Of the...
God. I pick Mike up to go to a professional engagement to represent Kinda Funny for this EA thing around some other journos and stuff and yada, yada, yada. And the man walks out. He's already talking to Kevin out there with Cecil. Cecil looking great, by the way, Kevin. Just a shout out.
Thank you.
And you
very
look great
much.
Too, Kev. But Cecil
thank you.
Great.
I like that Cecil baby is like trying to turn around his life.
I haven't seen Cecil, I think, in a long time. Mike walks out, basketball shorts on, sweatshirt under his arm, and puts it in the back of the car, climbs in the car. We have a lovely ride down to EA. We pull in the parking lot. We get out. I stretch. I see Brittany Brombrocker walk by. I'm like, hey, Brittany. She's like, hey. Whatever. And I come to the back of the car. And Mike opens the back seat and pulls out his sweatshirt and his pants and takes off his basketball shorts in the parking lot of EA. Just standing there in his boxers and puts on the brand new
undies
he just bought. Huh?
I said great MeUndies. I don't know if you saw them.
Great MeUndies, of course. MeUndies are always great. Yeah. Use the promo code Kinda Funny. And he puts these jeans on, you know, tightens the belt, and we walk in and I don't say anything about it. And so then we go to In-N-Out afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I really feel like right now me and Nick are the parents because we deal with Mike the most.
All the time. Yeah.
And Nick is the principal, or Greg is the principal at school, telling us all the shit that our son did. We're just like, this fucking kid, dude. I don't know what's wrong with him either.
Right. At this point, we're just beat down by it, and we just accept that we got a dud.
No, see, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. You guys are the divorced parents that are just like, kind of let him do what he wants. Because I'm the other parent that, like,
I'm stepdad now.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm like trying
to
bond with him. I'm like, what did your parents do to you?
Why are you so fucked up?
We went out to dinner yesterday. I was like, put on jeans. You're going to need them. And he was like, okay. And went inside, put on jeans. Like, I don't let him mess around with me when we're going out. I'm like, wear people clothes. You know what I mean?
Is this one of those things, Kevin, where it's like you're not, you know, certain households, certain cultures, you know, no shoes in the house. Is it like a no jeans in the car thing? What is happening?
So this morning I came out.
That's what I asked him. We get to In-N-Out. We're having a lovely meal here, of course, with the Dynamite In-N-Out. And we're recapping the tour we saw at EA. They had this really cool display of all their games through the years. Mike took a photo with the Sims couch. He's having a great time.
Oh.
And I say to him, or he says to me, what surprised you about this event? And I said, well, two things. Number one, you ordered an In-N-Out burger with just spread. I don't see that often. That sounds like that's a delicious move, and I'm glad you enjoy it. And number two, what is up with the stripping to the boxer shorts in the parking lot of wherever we are and putting on jeans? And he goes, oh, you know, I hate jeans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. I you hate jeans that much that you won't wear for the 30-minute car ride the jeans? He's like, no, I want to minimize all my time in these jeans. I will not wear the jeans. I was like, absolutely have to wear the jeans.
Yeah, I respect
he's like,
it.
Big Mike. He's like, Big Mike will drive across the country in jeans. It's outrageous. You wear your jeans all the time. Like, well, yes, I'm an adult. This is what I mean. Like, I don't hate jeans. My thighs aren't so supple and soft. And they are supple and soft, Andy. Don't worry about that. If you're going to do any erotic fiction tonight, right, you will know when you write it. Supple and soft thighs over here, all right?
It's really funny, Greg, because...
Bit of an acne problem on the inside of the thigh, but that's another conversation. Yeah, what's
hold on. Let me just write down some notes impression. Real quick. One sec. Supple and soft thighs. There we go. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Tim, back to you. Mm-hmm.
It surprises me that you're talking so much shit about basketball shorts. I know it's a roundabout.
I'm not talking shit about basketball shorts.
I understand.
Let's be fair here. How many Mizzou pairs... I have a 22-year-old pair up there.
I'm wearing basketball shorts right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm wearing... A variation on
and
them.
If we
Nick
went
always
to dinner,
calls
though, would
them.
You change oh on God, the sidewalk Jesus, out of Nick, them care, into the Tim jeans careful. To walk into the restaurant? That's where the problem lies.
No, I wear jeans all the time. Like, it's a part of life. I think acting like these jeans are maybe we're making you wear a collared shirt that's too tight at Best Buy, and as soon as you get off the clock, you're like, I fucking hate this shirt. Like, that's one, like, they're just jeans. He's so weird. I really feel like it's we found somebody in a sort of civilization where just things are done completely different.
Yeah.
And like Tahoe is this community where just the certain customs are just, you know, done weirder. Like maybe they, I don't know, wash their food in the tub or something, like, or wash their dishes in the tub. Like,
sure,
I just feel
sure,
like
sure.
There's just a lot Pontoon of weird
Pete and him are over there, and they put a garbage disposal in the shower so they can do all the stuff.
Yeah.
Under the sink, Nancy. Mike bought a new keyboard the other day to play games on.
Yeah.
That doesn't have any of the buttons on it. It's just a blank keyboard.
Oh, it doesn't say
the buttons. It's just one of those cool keyboards that relies on. Okay.
It would be. It would be.
Okay.
Cool if you know where the buttons
are. Cool if you know where the buttons are. Mike says, and I quote, I have to look at the keyboard to type things. I cannot look away. I don't know where any of the buttons are. So that keyboard is basically like taking, I have to imagine it was probably, what, 40, 50 bucks, something like that, maybe a little bit more. Just taking it and burning it. Because Mike is not going to use that keyboard again. He used it one time. It was frustrating. It's going to get moved over to the 14.
I want you to know the shock and horror. In the ER, or the ER, geez, the EA PR person who was giving us the tour today's face, when Mike was like, oh man, The Sims, I love The Sims. He's like, really? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, he buys all the expansions. And he's like, really? And Mike's like, oh my God, all of them. I love this one. Yeah. And I'm like, we've told him that we can get them for free from you. And he's like, the PR person's like, I will introduce you to people. You don't
Mr.
have
Sim.
To do this.
No, Mike, you don't get how Mike gets off. He loves buying those expansion packs.
I'll need the floor cleared.
Everybody clear comms. Andy Cortez is coming through. This is Andy Cortez.
Is this a story that maybe Kevin will pop in and kind of clarify some information?
I've been here the whole time. Just want to make that clear to everyone.
Of course. No. Of course.
I think he means just pop on. You're allowed to talk. Usually we don't like you to talk.
Oh, okay. I'm just hiding.
It's one of those things, Kevin,
I'm
where
under
I
Nick's
was making...
armpit.
Kevin is one. Oh, there you are. I see. I do see you. There you are.
Yeah.
Tiny Kev.
when everybody went to Lake Tahoe for Labor Day, Mike had to pack a lot of people into his house.
Mm.
A lot of people had to find places to sleep.
Mm.
So
This is really good. Mike needed
some space to sleep.
God damn it.
So Mike slept in his car. because mm-hmm. there apparently was no room to sleep in his house. So Mike slept in his car.
Also, to be clear, there was definitely room for him to sleep in his house.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course. So he slept in his car, and then when approached with the question, that man, that must have sucked for you, Mike. You always sleep naked. He says, no, I still slept naked in the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he slept naked in his car with his, and I'm going, Mike, that's fucking insane. And he's like, the blankets are wrapped around me. What does it matter? Like, the blankets are still wrapped around me.
Mm-hmm. Imagine middle of the night, Roger wakes up, he's knocking on the glass. You know, and he's gotta wake up Mike, because I don't know. Blessing fell down, twisted his ankle, got his hand stuck in the toilet. We need a plumber right now. and the jaws of life. He knocks on this. Mike sits up out of his cocoon, just shirtless. Like, what's going on?
And that's what I'm saying. But he assured me, Greg, that the blanket was wrapped around him. But I'm like, Mike, blankets do shit during the middle of the night when you're asleep. Maybe you may have felt safer because you were sleeping in a car like a fucking nutcase. You decided to sleep in a car because your house apparently had no room. But yeah, that's another one of the more recent stories that I am just bewildered by.
Andy, go before ahead, Nick goes, if I can, I do want to give you a little bit more.
We did invite you in like a vampire. Mm-hmm. We can't stop it now.
We don't have to imagine what would happen when someone went to wake him up. I went to wake him up in the morning at 8 a.m. And let me tell you, he was flipped in all kinds of ways. He looked like he was a sex worker that had been killed mid-job. Wow. And left in the car.
Okay.
That's what it looked. That's what it looked like. I would have taken a photo if you know there wasn't like so much exposed skin.
I just love the idea of Snowbike Mike just buns up, Kevin knocking on the door, and it's just these toasty like, little cheeks.
His like arm was like up top. His legs were both bent the wrong way. He looked very uncomfortable. He loved it. He said it was great.
So I was totally with Mike, where I'm just like, let the man wear his shorts, whatever. Mike, you took it too far. You took it too far, bro.
So the nude sleeping or the changing in public in the public parking lot?
The nude sleeping. The changing in public, boxers or boxers. I firmly stand by. That's fine.
Can I defend
Mike? Here's what we're going to do. We have an employee handbook. We're just going to have to add a line that if you're at an official Kind of Funny work event, just put the pants on before you get to the parking lot of the place we're going to go for. All right. That's all I'm saying. That might be the one line in the sand I'd like to draw, Tim. All right.
Don't sleep naked if you're like at a hotel for a company work event either.
Here's what I'll say.
Or in a car.
Here's what I'll say too.
Don't sleep in a car either.
No.
Wait, you mean don't sleep naked at a hotel with a company work event if you have a roommate or just period?
I'd say if you have a roommate. Yeah. Like if you're doubling up.
Because I'll sleep naked at a hotel event where they were like doing work at, but if I'm
you should not causes problems. You can't,
wait, Andy, everyone, real quick.
Keep your willies in your pants, everybody.
How's that cause problems? The door, you knock on the door, I get up, I put on the robe, I come over there, I look through the peephole. I go, what do you want? I don't open the door right away.
You go, shut the fuck up, it's nighttime.
It's nighttime. What's up,
Kevin? Question for Andy, is it okay to sleep naked if you've talked to your roommate about it? In the hotel?
No.
It's actually right, not okay to talk to your roommate as well. About it.
If me and Mike are in a room, we both want to sleep naked and we consent to it. Like, I mean, I don't something to think about.
Now I don't know if we can tell you not to if you're both.
Exactly. I mean, this is how we're comfortable.
Yeah, that's the tough one there is that once you ask the question, the other person can feel too uncomfortable to say.
Exactly.
No.
And then
you might feel pressured into being like, I guess I got to consent to this or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like you're looking for problems that aren't there.
It's a real touchy situation.
Now that we're kind of getting all of these issues out in the open, I'm glad that these are all kind of, because we've been telling these stories on a lot of different podcasts, but it's nice to kind of get them all in one collective, right? This is like the box set of what's wrong with Mike. this is another story that I told a couple of weeks back that I had told on like a stream or something like that. It happened during a stream, where Mike is telling me that he gets a random text message from a number he doesn't recognize, but he decides to converse with them instead of asking who this is, because they know it's Mike. He doesn't know the phone number, and he's like, I decided to just go with it. I decided to just talk to them. And then they invited me out to the whatever lake or to some event or something. So I decided to go and show up with people that he doesn't know who's texting him. And I'm like, First off, you were in San Francisco like 2 weeks ago. You didn't even call me. So fuck you. Now you're going to go to a random event with people that you don't even know. So like, there's just, it's like making a murderer, but like making a psycho. Like we need to find a therapist or a psychoanalyst to kind of get in there and just be like, what do we need to rewire? You know?
I don't think the damage is irreversible at this point.
Yeah, the damage is done. And I also think that maybe we're trying to change something that's beautiful. You know, like you don't understand how the sun works, but you can stare into it and it's super fun.
It's not, I mean, lots of people understand how the sun works.
Well, the question I have, it's gravity. Nick, we're not going to Summer Game Fest 2023 and having Mike in his boxer shorts as Jeff Keighley walks by outside. First off,
if that were to happen, oh God, please let me be anywhere near there so I can watch that. Hilarious. Second off, I think you guys are trying to change something that's wonderful here, because when I think about Snowbike Mike, it's not shocking to me that he sleeps naked. It would be shocking to me if he didn't sleep naked. Like, what's more shocking to you?
I love a good naked sleep.
You open up your car, and Mike's there sleeping, or you open up your car and Mike's there sleeping, not naked. Do you see what I'm saying?
Like, my favorite part of that story though, Nick, is us chastising him. Mm-hmm. Because we know how Mike is. He'll come into town, he'll disappear.
Yep.
Without telling you anything. It's like, dude, you're visiting. I'm here to hang out with you. Now you're back at the apartment. Like, what the like, how? So everybody's visiting him, which usually, Greg, you think that would put you in the host type mentality.
Yeah, that's where you want to take care of everybody, not flee to your car and get naked.
Yeah, you got to take care of everybody staying with you. You're going to hang out with them. You're all going to go back to your house together.
It was a bold move when I saw this whole troop going up to Snowbike Mike's house.
Yeah, so at one point, Blessing mentions he wants to go out dancing and stuff. So,
Which, did we ever talk about that?
Mike, no, never. Mike took him to the club. There. Mike took him to the club and then just bounced. and Mike's defense was, Andy, I got him to the point.
Yeah.
And Blessing was like,
all right, little bird, I think you got it from here.
Blessing was like, you dropped me off like I was your son at daycare or something. Like, and he was like, Andy, I got him to the point and then I could just bounce. It's like, no, but you stick around with like whatever they want to do. You're the host. You got to kind of be there with them. Yeah, you know, like, I notoriously don't love going out a whole lot. But I have someone staying at my house that's a personal friend of mine. Mm-hmm. If they want to go to a restaurant, I'm going to take them to the restaurant. I'm going to stick with them the whole time. And then we're going to come home back.
You're saying you go through the door of the restaurant, you sit at the table with them, and you eat. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, man. So this is the restaurant. Have fun, brother. I'll see you later.
See you later.
Here's what I'm going to say. You guys need to just recalibrate your expectation of how you talk to Mike. Because here's what happened. Last 3 weeks in a row, because Mike's been kind of around here for the last 3 weeks, moving in, yada, yada, yada. Hey, Nick, dude, what's going on with this comedy show tonight? I do a Wednesday comedy show every night down at Fish and Farm in the Financial District. 7 o'clock, he knows it. But I know Mike. What's going on, man? Can I come to this thing? JD's in town. Absolutely, you guys can come whenever you want. They got food at this restaurant? They do have food. They got a good burger? They got a great burger. How are the fries with the burger? Fries are par excellence. And I know in the back of my brain, the more details he asks for, Andy, the less likely he is that he's coming to this thing.
Yo, how's the handicap parking? Not that much.
He literally,
I can't come.
He literally asked me about
the parking. He'll never say that. He'll never say he can't come.
Free after 6. If you bring the car, free after 6. The parking was when I was like, he's not coming. And then I text him the address, and I was like, I knew in the back of my brain, I'm like, no fucking way I'm seeing Snowbike Mike tonight. Mm-hmm. True to form, 3 weeks in a row. Haven't seen him. Have not seen him.
And that all sort of started with Achievement Hunter Live. When me, Tim, and Nick went to Achievement Hunter Live, and Mike wanted to come down, and we wanted him to host stuff. And that was the, you know, several weeks leading up to it, Greg, there were a lot of kind of inquisitive, you know, vibes.
He's trying to find He's trying to find the one reason. And he'd be like,
so these Achievement Hunter guys, you like them, Andy? Like, they're cool? And he asked me that like 3 times. Like, yeah.
Hoping you'll say, no, they're racist.
Yeah. And then obviously the next day, that's when we got the message in Discord. I was like, Mike isn't going to be showing up tonight. But then he ended up deciding against that, and he didn't end up coming down. But there was a lot of funny people in the Twitch chat when we were talking about this story, and somebody said, Mike, when asking Andy about the new studio, so you like these kind of funny guys, Andy? Like, you want to... You like these guys? They're cool guys. Like,
yeah, Mike, you've been working for us for 3 years. Just come down already, for Christ's sake. Oh my God. Like, I get it. I think in Mike's defense, some of the stuff we're asking him to do is, you know, it's you're going out on a limb.
To wear pants.
You're taking risks, Greg. You yourself said you got an inner thigh problem going on right now with these pants that you're wearing. So you never know when that's going to happen.
I tweeted it out, by the way, Greg. I tweeted out soft and supple thighs.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you any context? Did you tag me in it? Did you say they're my thighs?
No, just soft and supple thighs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Do you guys want to hear more about this Tahoe nightclub thing?
Please do. Please do. Yeah.
So, Kevin, there's nothing more I want to hear, because this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on these microphones. We come together, we share stories, and we have a good time. If you want to be part of it and maybe share some questions, head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in with your questions, comments, topics of discussion. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show, and you can be watching live as we recorded, like Madeline is, Lexi is, and Melissa are. Of course, if you're watching live, be part of the show there and keep talking, telling your mic stories and things like that. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can support Kind of Funny for free over on the Epic Game Store. Use the creator code Kind of Funny when you're buying anything on the Epic Game Store. Maybe when you're playing Fortnite and buying them V-Bucks on your PlayStation. Maybe when you're doing Rumbleverse on your Xbox. Even if you're downloading a free game, if you use the creator code Kind of Funny, it helps us. Of course, if you want to support this very specific show, no big deal. The Kind of Funny podcast posts each and every week on youtube.com/kindoffunny. roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Of course, you'd have to sit through the ads. You wouldn't get the post show. You couldn't be watching it live and all that jazz, but you'd still have a good time. No matter where you get it, please like, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating so other people can find it and go, man, Mike's a weirdo. Housekeeping for you, we are still reacting to She-Hulk. There's a brand new episode up right now, reacting to episode 6. Is that right? Episode 6? Is that what it was? Yeah, it's episode 6. Yes. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe. You can look for the Kind of Funny screencast and see our She-Hulk reactions week by week until it leads up to MCU in review. Remember, of course, the new studio is launching Friday, October 14th with a marathon stream. You don't want to miss it. Get ready for good times. Thank you to our Patreon producers, David Huzenga, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twining, Gordon McGuire, and Fargo Brady. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and MeUndies. But before we tell you about that, Kevin, tell me the nightclub stuff.
So the night starts. We're all about to leave. We had a full day. We were on a boat earlier that day. It was a lot of fun. But we take naps. Everyone kind of takes maybe like an hour nap. And Mike...
Did Mike nap in the car?
No, he napped. He had a little patio outside with a couple of lounge chairs that he napped at. Nice.
Does he nap naked?
No, he was fully clothed.
Middle of a car, right?
Tim, I want you to know I also woke him up from that nap. I was like, it's time to go. Get dressed.
Put on some pants.
We had a nightclub to go because Roger Leanne's had never been to a nightclub. So Mike was like, dude, Nevada, it's a great nightclub. If we all to go together, I can get you guys in for free. No cover charge. And we're like, all right, sounds good. So we go to leave his house. Everyone's ready. Mike's like leaving. We all walk out together and then like we walk a block and somebody's like, where the hell's Mike? So we had to send someone back to find out where Mike had disappeared to. He was still at his house. Nobody knows what he was doing at that point. He just decided. As we all were walking out, he stopped and just went back in. So we got him, and then we walk over to like a casino to cross the certain area. And again,
thing ever.
And it happens.
He's a Parks and Rec character, man.
He totally is.
But here's the thing, like, I think Mike is too nice for his own good. I think there's like 90% of the stuff that he ends up doing, he doesn't want to do, but he doesn't want to say no to you.
Right? Yeah, but then he has no problem most ghosting you midway through.
Right.
Like a nice person would wait and hang out with you and maybe look tired the whole time. But so we get into the casino that we're using to cut to another casino, and what happens? We start walking 20 feet. Somebody turns around and is like, where's Mike? Mm-hmm. And everyone's just standing there confused because literally he just disappeared. And I remember something he said. I remember he was telling me that he was thinking about getting a milkshake. So I was like, oh, I bet you he went to the little burger place right over here and getting a milkshake. So I walk over. Sure enough, he's just standing there, normal Mike face, waiting to get his milkshake. So I walk up to him. The store closes actually before he can get his milkshake. They're just like, yeah, line's closed. Everyone get out. So we keep walking. We go into the other casino where the nightclub is located. And he's like, let's do a couple spins of the big wheel. So we go and we you know, put down $10 on the big wheel and we're having a fun time. And yeah, sure enough, we look around. Mike and Blessing have disappeared. And it's like, all right, that's weird. So me and Roger Lianza, JD, and Spaceman are all sitting there spinning the wheel a couple of times. Then kind of bored of it. So it was like, I guess, should we just go to the nightclub? So we go to the nightclub. There's a $10 charge, like cover charge. Me and Roger pay it, get inside. And we're waiting to get drinks. And I look over and there's Blessing. And I'm like, oh, Blessing got in. So we talked to Blessing and sure enough, Mike got him in. Mike brought him to the door and like knew the guy and got him in. And it's like, well, what the fuck? Why did I pay $10? No big deal. Everyone's like, where's Mike? Oh, he said he was going to go spin the wheel. Like, we just came from the wheel, so he's not there. Whatever. But what happens next is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Me and Blessing are on the dance floor moving around a little bit. And I lean over to Bless and I'm like, so what's the plan here? He's like, I think I'm about to have a dance off. And I'm like, what? He's like, I think that I'm about to have a dance off. Watch this. Watch this. And he scoots over to these guys and he's dancing with them. And suddenly out of nowhere, a circle erupts. Everyone moves uniformly and creates this, I don't know, 6-foot circle where they're all kind of dancing around. And then one guy gets in there and he starts going.
So Bless initiated this.
Yeah.
He was Bless the initiated. Dance assaulter.
Yep. Wow. He was like, yeah, he like it was, you guys, it was so cool.
Did he win?
According to Roger, I think someone else won, but he did a full handstand. He did what I'm gonna call a headstand. That means no hands. He's just on his head, fucking moving back like upside down. It was incredible.
He floated.
Incredible. And it's wild. I've never seen one of those in a nightclub. Like, let me also tell you that the floor was not clean, but everyone is on the floor moving around and it was a full-on dance-off, like a real 10-person dance-off. Everyone's taking turns. I think because Blessing initiated, he was going like every other almost. So he was like competing against everyone. And it was very impressive. These people had moves.
Just in case people don't know, I am slacking you right now. A video of Blessing doing some popping and locking dancing over here.
Kevin explaining a dance battle is like, oh, it just made my whole week, guys. Like, this is everything 100%. About that is just fantastic. Was Mike, so you guys lost Mike.
No, but Mike was gone.
At any point,
yeah.
Did he ever see the dance battle?
He did not see the dance battle. He heard tell of it, but
look at Plesko. Yeah, look at Plesko.
He was doing these things, but imagine this. But he's flipped all the way over just on his head. No hands.
Show us, Kevin. Flip his video.
No, it's too many steps.
You all heard Kevin think about it. Like, wait a second.
Oh, there we go. Plus is doing his thing.
It looked a lot like that. A lot like that. Anyways, it was very impressive. And let me tell you, after the competition completed, there wasn't a fight. Everyone kind of shook hands. And
well,
then
no,
Bless
I hope there would be a fight. That seems like something that doesn't
I could see that happening. I could see that happening. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, if you're not happy with the results...
In a dance situation, I
feel
like that's like
watch too much Cobra Kai.
That's such a context or a contest of skill that I feel like if you get outplayed, you got to be like, you know what? I was outplayed today. That was
respect. Respect.
It's like when I'm faster than Andy in a foot race. He's just like, I get it.
Did he say I get it, or did he not let that go for like
not true
4 years?
I beat him.
I mean, he's been too afraid to do it. He's been too afraid to race.
Video proof of it.
In America.
Put it on the film.
Without exaggerating, honestly, it felt like something out of Cobra Kai. It felt like there's this culture that suddenly I got a glimpse into. Well, all these people, like, they knew what was going down. And I don't believe any words were exchanged. There were a lot of
just
nods
the vibe. They knew.
And
they
eye contact. Knew. Eye contact. Right. They looked at each other in the eyes, and they knew this was about to go down. Really, really cool. And it brought us all back. We were at 100% after that.
Great.
I mean, you see something that amazing, I feel like that has to reinvigorate the soul.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And I guess that's it for the Mike story so far. I mean, I know there's like
Oh, there's just so many more.
A million other things.
Oh, there's so more.
We're about to make so many more memories and so many more horrible stories.
Aside from the fact that he has gotten to the airport parking lot and decided, I'm not going to go on this flight, and just goes home.
Yeah.
Like that is, he's done that several times this year, apparently.
I had a call with Mike yesterday where I was looking at the calendar, trying to schedule the rest of the year out, make sure everything was good, people weren't overworked, everything's perfect. And I noticed something that felt a little bit off. It said Mike's off a day that I hadn't heard about. And I just wanted to clarify, because sometimes people put things on the calendar accidentally or whatever. So I called him. I was like, look, totally cool. You can take that day off for sure. Just want to know, are you actually taking that day off? Classic Mike. He goes, well, I don't need to. And I'm like, well, I just told you you can. So don't worry about that. He's like, no, but like, Tim, if it's going to cause problems, I'm like, it's not going to cause problems. I just need to know. And he's like, it's okay. I need to get on a flight and do this, whatever. I was like, oh, did you book your flight already? No. I'm like, okay, you should book the flight. I'm telling you right now. He's like, no, I'll let you know when I get closer. And I'm like, no, Mike, I need to know because I'm scheduling things. Let's just call it now. You're taking the day off. Go book your flight. He's like, nah, no matter what you say, I'm going to book the flight like last minute. It's what I do. And I'm like, Mike, you could just not do that. Like, it's that simple. Right, it's like, I want you to know you're making my life harder right now. Instead of just being like, cool.
Yep.
Done. It's like, and, no. Yep. He's trying to like be helpful. And I'm like, you're hurting, Mike. You're hurting.
And Tim, we're going to give a glimpse into the Kind of Funny Patreon AMA for one question that was asked about who is everybody's got a little Stu Gotsen in Mandy. Who would Kind of Funny has it? Of course, Nick has a lot of Stu Gotsen tendencies from the Dan Levitard show, but Mike showing a lot. And it reminds me of the time where for about 2 months, me and Barrett were under the assumption that Mike was going to be moving in with us.
And so was Kevin. 2 months. That was like 6 months.
It was a long time. And it gets to a point, Tim, where you know that he just doesn't want to hurt feelings, but you're really just inconveniencing a lot of people. And the whole time, me and Barrett are like, well, we have other people that want to move in too, but like, you know, we're going to give him priority. So like, we'll just let him. And for the and eventually I was like, I'd given up. And I was like, he's not going to move. He just won't tell us. And it's like, hey, you could tell me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Just please let me know. Yeah. We'll figure it out. And then never officially told me, would just be like, oh yeah, I'm taking that spare bedroom in Kevin's. It's like, you could have told me so long ago. Mm-hmm. And we would have had so much weight off of our minds so that we can move on to the next suitor or whatever. And a lot of it, I think, is like he doesn't want to inconvenience you, therefore inconveniences you, you know. Mm-hmm.
Comes from a good place.
For sure.
But he does bad and we have to punish him for it, you know.
It's not something I want to encourage. But what I'm saying is, like, how many times, going back to Greg's parent teacher meeting analogy, which I really, really like, Greg. Greg, wasn't give yourself a gold think, star for that.
Thank because you. I'll take it,
dad.
Actually.
That was mine. You're a great dad.
Mine, but okay.
Okay. Well, Greg got there faster, like he did in that foot race.
Thank you, Nick.
That was really good.
I hate it. I hate that it was good.
So he
it started from a dumb place, though. Yeah.
We'll get to this motherfucker next.
Yeah, we'll get to this motherfucker. Everyone
already knows. That subject has been talked about ad nauseum. Going back to that, I think you just hit a certain point with your kid where you go, we just have to figure out another way to talk to that person, right?
Just got
to
accept it.
You just got to accept it, and you got to translate that and run it through. So, like, we just need to know that if you want Mike to not do something, you just have to ask him very nicely to do it, and he won't do the thing. You have to know that if you ask Mike to show up someplace physically, just assume 98% chance he's not coming. Even if he says he's going to come, he's not coming. And also, above all else, if you are on a late night Discord call with Mike where we're playing games and you're about to start the first game and he says the following words, and I quote, I'll be right back. He's gone forever.
He's gone. Yep. He's you won't gone. See him in for another 24 hours.
Might be 24, might be forever. You don't know.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way.
I'm going to go get my food downstairs. All right. Well, later, Mike. We'll see you later then. You're gone. That's just it.
I'll never forget. I'm on a Discord call. Mike's like, oh, I got to get my chai latte, so I'll be right back. And 10 minutes go by. 15 minutes go by.
And you're settled in for a night of gaming.
I'm at a game. And I'm like, are we gonna, I'm like, is Mike coming back? And Washburn just laughs at me. He's like, he's like, oh, idiot. Nick, you fucking idiot. He's not, he's gone. Where does he go? I don't know. He probably took his car to watch Spider-Man on TikTok.
Yeah. Mm. So Greg, what are your issues with Nick now?
Well, my issues with Nick actually stem from patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you could go to be part of the show. You could go to get the show ad-free. You could be watching live as we record it. You could get the post-show. But speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. We've all heard of gut instinct, but have you ever heard of butt instinct? It's when your butt tells you it wants new undies. Listen to your butt. Luckily, we work with MeUndies, makers of the most buttery, soft, and sustainable undies, bralettes, and socks that exist. You know that I have lived my life MeUndies head to toe for the majority of the last couple years. I'm just all in on MeUndies because they are absolutely the most comfortable clothes I've ever put on my body. Available in sizes extra small to 4XL. They have new colors and prints dropping weekly, so there's always something exciting to check out. You can try their free-to-join membership for free shipping on every order and exclusive perks like an item shipped to your door every month, secret sales, and early access to the newest stuff. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. Shopify powers our very own kindoffunny.com/store, our merch store. And we love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day, every 28 seconds. An entrepreneur like you makes the first sale on Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase.
Again, we've spent 39 minutes, almost 40 minutes here talking about, you can put your hand down, Nick, no one's calling you, talking about Mike, right? And all the problems he has. Right before we went live, Nick decided to lick an envelope and he went in on this thing, but licked it like a little kitty cat. To which I said, I made fun of him for, and he goes, Andy, how do you lick an envelope? Andy, how do you lick an envelope?
I have a paper towel here I'm going to demonstrate on.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. What I do is I go into out, but it takes about two swipes because by the time you get through to the first one, the moisture is nearly gone on your tongue. So you have to redo it again. So I'll go like that, and again, and I'll do that. That tickles a lot.
Now I'm going to say this. May I speak?
You may speak now.
I just also wanted to clarify, just to tack on to the Mike story. One of the times he was sleeping in his car naked, he watched down Periscope on his phone for the second time that night because I recommended that he watch it. Mm. Just throwing that out there. That's the kind of relationship Mike and I have.
Nick, real quick, now that you've brought up Mike, would you believe that for the first like 2 hours?
Whatever you're going to say, yes, I believe it.
He was in the car with the car on because he needed to charge his phone.
He's gonna die.
Oh my god.
It was open. It was oxygen. No, he's fine. He wasn't in the garage or anything.
No, but we just mean like that does not bode well for his future situations where survival is needed. Like the most common.
Also, whenever I have the chance, I'd like to talk about my envelope licking technique. I think interesting.
So, you're very small.
All of my envelope licking tendencies come from fear of getting a paper cut on my tongue.
Okay.
Which I appreciate that because I'm in the same place. I'm an Andy licker where I do middle out, like, and then add extra. But I had a bad experience once. Don't need to get into details.
Oh no.
But it happened. All right.
Oh.
And so since then I was just like, you know what? No, I'm playing it safe. So I go real slow with just a little tip of my tongue.
That's what along it. That's what I do. So I do what I did was I have calculated scientifically in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The exact amount of saliva that I need on my tongue to dart my tongue out, move it a quarter of an inch, dart it out, and have that saliva spread out into the glue. And then when I close it, I get a perfect, not too wet, not too dry seal on that glue. Before, I used to lick, and then go back again. Then you're licking your own saliva.
Oh, no, you can't double back. You can't double back.
That's gross. No, so now what it looks like to everyone, to the uninitiated, I don't have an envelope here. It looks like this. It just looks like this.
Yeah, it's a quote on the cobbler.
Can we all visually do it right now for audio listeners? We're all going to be doing our already. 3, 2, 1.
I don't do the flick. I'm more of just like,
well, I thought we're right there. We were all imitating Nick.
Mm.
That we weren't doing how we look at envelope.
Synchronized.
But I'm also not going to sit here and defend my envelope tendencies because I know.
I appreciate that.
I'm not going to defend them. I know it's weird. I know 90% of the shit that I do is weird. I know that I am.
Like when you microwave fucking Parmesan cheese.
Fucking weird.
And then it was like, why? I don't understand. My stomach hurts so bad after I ate a pound of microwaved Parmesan cheese.
Come on, Kevin.
I'm making fun of you, Nick, but I'm sitting. I want to say real quick, you know, I'm making fun of Nick, but I have, until the show started, 3 halfly chewed bubble gums just here on their wrappers.
That's disgusting.
Waiting for me to re-chew them.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Andy, you got to stop that.
What? You got to get your value out of the bubble gum.
No, Lord.
On the apple.
Don't waste your food, you know?
There was a recording we did recently that involved Andy telling the story about, or Nick was talking about the Parmesan cheese and the microwave and all that stuff, and then Nick or Andy was going back and forth with them. We had to listen to that back yesterday, so it was me and Nick in a Discord, and there is nothing quite like Nick clearly not paying attention to me talking to him because he's listening to himself and laughing at what he is saying. And I was like, Nick, I fucking love you. There's just something that is just so beautifully perfect. It's like he's supposed to be doing an audio test right now, and I was like, he gave up on that 15 seconds ago. He's waiting for the funny. Like, he just heard Andy make a joke. He knows he's about to make his own joke, and he needs to know what it is. And it got him. He got himself.
We were the dynamic duo, Andy. They took it from us.
Oh my god! The other stream, we had a great stream. We have a lot of ideas for the HBO Last of Us show. We'll get to that later. Then.
Oh god. We have one idea that's fucking great. It is great.
We'll talk about that later. I want to talk about my plane issues that I had over the week.
I heard you almost fell out of the sky.
Almost fell out. Well, first off, I'm going to start off the story with a story I never told that I had meant to tell that I happened back when I flew home. And I woke up to, Mr. Cortez, you have been upgraded to first class.
What?
Got a free upgrade.
They know you had a
class.
Billboard. They know you had a billboard in Times Square.
Then this was the flight back to Texas when I flew home on vacation and visited my family a couple months ago or whenever that was. And I tweeted about it and I was like, hey, you know, all brands out there, you know, my rate just went up. I just got a free upgrade to first class. And it wasn't the nicest first class. It was a shitty small plane. It may as well not have been first class. The curtain behind me was maybe a foot long from the ceiling. It was one of those planes that you walk into where, like, there's only a row of one seats on one side, and the left side there's two sets of seats, two columns of seats.
Yeah, it's a small little puddle hopper. Sure.
And it was like a normal chair. I was just closer to the pilot.
Lame.
It was the biggest disappointment. I wanted to laugh in sadness as I was on this plane, like laugh myself to tears, to crying, because I was so stoked to experience this. Because every time I walk by, I see those big ass seats, or when you're on the when you're on the fucking like jumbo fucking jets with the three rows of three sections of seating, you know, I see those and they can lay back with the fucking like 30 inch OLED TV in front of them or whatever. Like, it looks so luxurious. And this, like, there was no TV. It was just, it was a chair where I had maybe 4 more inches of leg room.
It you was don't need it. And we don't need that. We don't like, need that leg room.
Here's the thing. Like, I am so glad none of you were on this plane with me. Because, like, you would have been like, wow, Andy got upgraded to first class. And I'm talking shit the whole time, man. I'm sure, talking shit that sure. I'm about to take this first class flight. And what's separating me and the peons, peasants behind me is a curtain this long. This long. Oh. The length of my head from the ceiling. Yeah. It was a fucking... I felt so embarrassed, dude. Like, I was so excited. And I was like, what sucks the most about it is, like, this was my one. This was the one. I'm probably never going to get upgraded. People, like, fly their whole lives and never get upgraded. This was my one upgrade that I'm going to get probably for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And it was a free upgrade to first class. And it just felt, it was a normal-ass chair, except I had nobody sitting to the right of me, which was just the aisle anyway. Because, oh, God, it was so embarrassing, dude. I felt so embarrassed on this fucking Andy, shitty little flight.
Andy, let me explain.
Why did you feel embarrassed? Before. Were you talking shit to the people, like, around you before you got on? I understand if we were there.
No, it's like it's internal embarrassment because I was tweeting about it. I was talking shit. Gotcha. I was, you know, I'm big shit status
feel
now.
Yourself.
I was on Times Square. You know, I have a very popular liked comment on one of Selena Gomez's TikToks.
Hugely
popular. I'm big shit, you know? And this definitely felt less than that. It was pretty, yeah. For what I hyped myself up to thinking it was going to be, I was hoping it would at least be like the big seat with the nice like leather and like the, it just wasn't that. You know, when I talk about the seat, I'm talking like I picture the amount of like space that Professor X has.
Sure.
You know,
you want like, a real first
that
class.
That happened to me and Tim once when we were flying to Mizzou for the Mizzou video. We had a connecting flight in the one to Mizzou. We had first class and it was like, fuck yeah. And we got there and yeah, it was a tiny ass plane. We were just in the front. We had lots of legroom because, of course, me and Tim are so tall. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, see, same here. I had to deal with that all the time.
Yeah, well, this is mainly for Nick, something he would never know. You know, he just kicks his little feet trying to touch the ground. But like me and Tim had it, we could like look into the cockpit. That was
stools. They have footrests, they have ottomans.
Andy, here's what I'm going to tell you. I want to take a little jump back into the history of Kinda Funny because I feel your pain. I know what it's like to feel embarrassed at an airline. I don't know if you remember this or not, but a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there used to be an airline called Virgin America.
Ugh, don't bring
and
that words.
Tim and Greg, unbeknownst to me, were like, we're going
unbeknownst to you. Literally fuck off, Nick.
Unbeknownst
to
me.
Come on, they're like...
We're like,
we are gonna
believe him. I believe him. Super cool Chase Sapphire cards that are linked to Virgin, and we know someone who knows something, and that's gonna get us this incredible status. Andy, they had like triple first class, silver, gold, platinum status. That's Meanwhile, awesome. I'm sitting back here, I don't know what's going on. And it was never so apparent to me than when we'd go through like the security, and I would be in the normal person line, and I would be like, hey guys, you know, there's like only like 5 people in this normal person line. Do you guys just want to, like, wait with me or whatever? And Greg, the second his fucking Converse hits airport soil, just wouldn't pay any attention to me.
Greg in an airport looks like he always has a people mover underneath him.
He's so fast.
He's gliding past everybody. So
I'm in my
quickly.
Element, guys. This is where I was meant to be. All right.
And it's possibly
I was meant to be in the sky.
it's funny you said
shooting star.
It could potentially be because one of the perks of being a Virgin American Platinum status holder is they just fucking carry you from place to place. Like it'd be like, it's time to board the plane, and Greg would just elevate over to first class and sit down. Sure. And then Andy,
I like the picture here, like,
I
he
was
left, and he goes horizontal.
I was a stockholder.
Now, I will say this. All of that stuff that I just said was mostly made up, and as you can tell by Tim's face.
Whoa,
but
weird.
The thing that was not made up. The thing that was 120% fucking true that I had to look forward to every single time I boarded the plane in like the third or fourth boarding group was I would walk by Greg and Tim, and audibly, out loud, Greg would say, "Don't even look at him. Don't look at him. He's not one of us." As I walked by, you fucker.
That is true. That is true.
It's just like
to the whole
like plane.
The whole plane.
Right?
He would say that.
We did this publicly. We tried to get you. It's a very Snowbike Mike. It's a good full circle of like when we were getting the Virgin America credit cards, which are not the Chase Sapphire cards, which are different things, show some fucking respect. When we were getting the Virgin America cards and getting that status, when we were buying the stock and getting that status, when we were making all these moves, we were telling you to do it. And you're like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And so then, you know, you didn't want to respond to the carrot. You get the whip. And that was it. I had to publicly shame you. And it made you a better person. You're better on United, aren't you? You know what I mean? Like, you're better for it. And hey, I think, hey, honestly, the real person who should be thanking their lucky stars is D, because I made you a better traveler for her. And, like, keep in mind how bad of a traveler you were. Your wife would leave you often on trips without you. Now at least she brings you along because you're not such a dirtbag.
Say it's, thank you.
That is very true. That is very true.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Because... because I'll tell you what, because I'm Premier Silver on United for the first time ever. Really? I got upgraded to Premier Silver. I'm feeling great. And this most recent trip that I had this past weekend to Austin, Texas, I went for a wedding. My first flight ever with, I've had Clear for years, right? For like maybe a year and a half now. Or no, definitely before the pandemic, because I used Clear on flights during the pandemic and all that shit. I've had Clear, but this is my first time with TSA Pre and Clear.
Welcome.
Holy
welcome, Andy.
Fuck. Right. What have I been missing out on? Yep. First off, getting Pre was kind of it was my fault. I didn't have two forms of ID. I took a, you know, I don't know, $62 Uber to the place. I didn't have my ID, so I had to $62 Uber back, and I had to $48 Uber back. What's
full stop.
Yep.
Don't you own a car?
SF the weather and it's really foggy.
It's difficult.
Really foggy.
That's insane. That's the craziest thing.
Plus, parking at the airport, you never know if they're gonna let you park there.
No, I had to. It was somewhere else.
You never know. It's impossible to know.
I had to park somewhere else to go get the TSA pre thing. But
did you worry that the parking was gonna cost $140 and that the Ubers would be more cost effective?
What if what if I'm on the highway and a plane has to emergency land in the highway?
You're still in the Uber that's on the highway, and the plane has to land on top of the Uber.
Not my car.
Don't you want your life in your own hands at that point? I want my hands on the wheel. Quarterbacks want the ball.
Not my car, not my problem. So anyway, first time doing Pre and Clear, and it was I was pre-ing all over the place. Mm-hmm. It was so unbelievably fast. I got out of my Uber, and I was through all the bullshit in about maybe 8 minutes. It was miraculous, dude. Yeah. Especially seeing how long the line was that afternoon at SFO. And the same for Austin Bergstrom. The same deal. It was packed as fuck because the Longhorns had just played that weekend. So everybody was flying out Sunday after the football game. And it was ridiculous in that airport. And I was through there in about the same time, 8 to 10 minutes. Amazing experience. I highly recommend it.
You need Pre and Clear. Is what
Pre gets you through Clear gets you through.
You skip
past everybody standing in line, all the people waiting in line. You pass all of them, and then Pre gets you to the spot where you don't have to take your shoes off, and you don't have to take your laptop out, and you don't have to. It's just
still got to show your hands.
Luggage. Luggage and the thing on the thing and the fucking goes through. So that's Pre. And that
I have Pre, but I think Tim's been telling me to get Clear for a while too. And I was just haven't done it because we haven't traveled a lot in the last few years.
Clear's pretty great.
Getting back into there, I'm thinking like, what are all the advantages? Because
Clear's more. I would recommend Clear over Pre.
Well, no, but I'll tell you about Pre. Pre gets you global entry as well, and global entry when you're traveling international is fucking awesome. Because when you get off a 9-hour flight back home and you're like, oh, I'm so fucking tired, and you just walk up like through the cool kid line.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You're right about that. But yeah, I would recommend Clear over Pre only because it's way more expensive though, so maybe not, but you know, you get what you pay for. That passes you the whole line. I don't mind taking off my shoes and taking my laptop out of the bag if I could pass by everybody. You know what I mean? But like, if I still have to wait through a long ass line and then suddenly I don't have to take off my shoes, I feel like that's a lesser experience for me.
Well, but not everywhere has Clear.
Yeah.
Right?
Not everywhere has Pre.
No, I think everywhere has Pre.
I've definitely been to airports where the Pre line's closed.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing it. And they give you like a laminated piece of paper. And they're like, show this to the guy and he won't do this.
Or even worse, Kevin, you could be like me and have Clear and show up to SFO with a flight that was too early. So Clear wasn't even open.
Yeah.
That was real bad, dude. It was like, I had like a 5:30 or 6 in the morning flight that I had to book hella early, and I was there super early, and Clear was like, well, we're not open for another 4 hours or some shit. What's going
you're,
on?
Nick? You're okay being that guy with Clear?
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, you know, I mean, they're the guy that you look at and you go, guys, oh, fuck this guy. But when you're that guy, you're that, guy.
And live that life.
It's fuck y'all. I'm getting through this super quick.
Nick, you know you want to be that guy.
Here's the thing. I want to be that guy, but you know, okay. It's funny you mentioned that. I want to be that guy that's standing next to that guy. I want Tim to take the heat while we're being pulled
you're
up.
Such a
while,
little
while we're walking up. And well, I want to be the guy that goes like this. Sorry, I don't know why we're doing this.
Nick loves being that. Nick, you love being that guy. They're like, sorry, I don't want to be doing this. This is a my
the guy that makes
this.
The situation that's not a situation a situation.
That's what was so great about those early RTX flights was that Greg was booking all of our tickets, so we had pre because he had pre.
So cool.
And then when that didn't happen, it was a different world for me. I was so sad after
you
that.
Got a pre. You got a pre all over.
Yeah, you got a pre all together. All the boys preing together.
I want to tell a story about
to all the boys we preed before.
I want to tell a quick story from my vacation with D. We were
that you're welcome that she took you on.
I'm always grateful that she lets me hang out with her anywhere.
Thank you, Greg.
She's
because
in the
of, yeah,
right
because
now,
of my like, edification.
Yeah, yes. I have to text her and see if it's cool. I come out of the room. We were standing in line, right? We're doing that thing where like I don't have status on United anymore. So we're boarding group 3, which is just a freaking nightmare whenever you want to get anything in the overhead bins.
It's the worst.
It was just a nightmare, right? Like to the point where we ended up actually springing on the way back where we're like, we'll just pay the $25 and get a better boarding group because we got I can't deal with the fact that my little bag has to be sandwiched underneath my seat for 6 hours. It's just annoying to not have that extra foot room, right? So we're standing there and we're playing that game, that most dangerous game where we're like, when do the two stop so that we can sneak it, so we can be the first people.
Kind of be right? That little wave where there's enough space between the two.
Start the wave, right?
Where the flight attendant's going to be like in group 3 and then you're already there. You're already in motion to get there.
But of course, it gives me anxiety because I've seen people turned away before, right? If you go there, they go, oh, sir, we're not boarding this group.
Oh, Kevin, they're going to get you.
No, hold on a second. Because I bring this story up every time. Because when you're moving or when you're flying with a bunch of large packages, like I often have to, like camera bags, and you're group 3 or 4, sometimes you got to be the worst kind of guy that just sneaks in. They're like calling group 2 and they're slowing down, and you're like, all right, I can just sneak in. No one's going to say anything. Right. And I've been that guy many times. And what does fucking Nick Scarpino do every time? Because he always, for whatever reason, he's like, I'm going to go with you. Let's do it. I'm going to go with you.
Let's go.
As we get
cool.
in line,
be cool. It's like buying
he
drugs.
He tells everyone around, we're not part of this group.
We shouldn't be here. He has drugs. He's buying drugs. It's like, those aren't even true.
Yeah.
Welcome to being married to a Canadian. This is the exact same situation. Mm. Anytime I'm like, oh, we're going to do something, Jen immediately wants to jump on the grenade. I'm like, you got to stop. And she's gotten much better about it because I've, worn her out.
So we're traveling. I think we're in Newark Airport, which is
New Jersey.
Is a hell on earth, by the way. One of the worst airports I've ever been to my entire life. Not one single solitary fast food restaurant in that place. And let me tell you, you might think, oh, that's great. You're giving a lot of space to these local restaurants that are very, very good. Yes, took 55 minutes to get a hamburger. And when your layover was only an hour, that's difficult.
That's bad. That's energy and anxiety you don't want in your life right now.
Horrible, right? And horrible. And I should have known because when we went up to this burger place, there were already people that were hot. We're like, dude, like some people were complaining, like, we've been waiting for our hamburgers so long, we got a fucking flight. And the people back there couldn't give a shit. Yet we still ordered there, and it was terrible. But as we're getting on the boarding group, I'm like, I can't deal with not having my fucking bag put on top. I like my bag to be right on top. I want my bag out against something. I like it right there, right?
Yep.
So we're sitting there, and I lock eyes with this lady who's looking at us, and I'm looking at her. And she casually walks over and goes, are you guys doing the thing where you're about to, like are you group 3 and you're about to sneak in at the tail end of group 2? And me and Dee look at each other. I'm like, I don't know if we should trust this lady or not. She looks trustworthy, but I don't know. So I say, I take a risk. You know what? Yeah, we are. She goes, cool. I'm going to do the same thing. And then I go, don't you get anxiety that they're going to tell you you got to get to the back of the line or they're not doing, like they're not boarding? She goes, no, because every time that happens, and it does happen, you're not wrong. But every time it happens, I go, oops, I don't know. It's different everywhere. That is my response to everything. And I was like, huh, And I was like, please stand in front of us. I want to see this happen. I was like, this is cool. She's my Tim. She'll be the tip of the spear and I'll be the handle.
She said, I'm with her. I don't know.
We go in and we are the butt. We're at the end of two. We have done this perfectly. And as we're walking in, no announcements made. And I'm starting to get nervous. My heart's starting to beat. Because usually it's like they know when the last boarding group two is. So they say boarding group three and we're right in there. Right? My heart's starting to beat real fucking hard. Real hard, right? She looks back at me. She hands this lady her ticket.
Never felt this alive.
The lady looks at it for a second and goes, you're boarding group three. And then the other lady, our new friend, stares at her and goes, oh, I'm sorry. It's different everywhere you go. And then looks back at me and winks. And the person with the ticket goes, all right, and scans it and lets her go. And we just were like, oh, okay, we followed. It was an incredible experience.
God damn it, amazing. Gosh, I'm glad so you found good. A Tim, a random Tim in Newark, New Jersey.
I'm always looking for a Tim now for the rest
of my life. The wink is great. That is fantastic.
She literally winked at me. It was fucking
amazing. One last thing I wanted to talk about my flight home, which was an absolute nightmare. Not only was it delayed almost 3 hours, several delays. A lot of those, Kevin said he was trying to fly back into SF2 and he was having a lot of delays. So it just seemed like something was fucked up with the SF.
It was raining. That's literally what it was.
Yeah. No way to be ready for that.
Yeah. Can't be ready for that. So yeah, my flight was at 4 p.m. In Austin and then suddenly it was 4:45 and then it was 5:40 and then it was 6 something. Like, it sucked. It sucked real bad. And on the flight back, I had the goddamn triple threat surrounding me. Yelling baby behind me.
Oh.
Like, not like crying. Like, like that fucking, like, register and frequency of yells.
Sure.
Awful. That shit does not get blocked out by noise-canceling headphones. Two seats over. A lot of coughing.
Oh, like, you love that. That's your favorite thing.
Like, cover, like.
Is bro wearing a mask?
No, she is not wearing a mask. No.
Come on.
She is not wearing a mask. Absolutely not.
It's terrible.
Lady to the left of me. Oh, my God. Arguably worse than everybody else on the plane. Let me leave the light on because I have to read.
No, I hate that shit.
Tim, the whole time, even when she wasn't reading, she had her tray table down with the light on, with food that she had already eaten, with the screen in front of her, and the light is on the whole time. The only person on the whole fucking plane. And also, I think the row in front of me, the people that were all opposite of each other were playing like a trivia game together. And they were like, no. So I'm from the 1800s and I went to blah. And they're talking so loud. And the person's like, I don't know, Napoleon. Like, no, you didn't. Like, oh, dude, it was the craziest flight. It was one of those that it reminded me of being at the movie theater when I went to go watch Spider-Man. And everybody was like, no, dude, it's crazy. And I thought, like, hidden cameras were on me. It was an awful fucking flight, but yeah, arguably worse than the open mouth cough or hands all over the place and the baby yelling at the shrieking at the top of their lungs. The lady beside me with the light on the whole time and said, get a fucking e-reader, you little freak. Get that physical book out of my face and read a goddamn electrical screen.
How many trees had to die for this? How many trees had to die?
You fucking freak,
disgusting.
Dude. Oh, it was so awful.
I want to give a shout out to the flight attendant on the last flight that I took, though. Because I'm sitting there, right? It was an earlier morning flight. And as we take off, this fucking beam of light from the sun right through homie diagonal to me's window, right in the fucking eye. Right?
Doesn't bow, like, they're closing.
I'm like, this horrible, horrible. I'm like, so, and I'm saying, you know, passive-aggressive statements like, it's so bright. It's so bright in here. It's so bright. Right. Ah! Gosh, you know, just trying to get his attention and just, you know, instead of just saying, sir, can you put that window in?
Yeah.
And the flight attendant comes up to ask us if we'd like anything to drink. And I'm doing one of these. And she goes, oh, hold on one sec. And doesn't even ask the guy.
Shut
she
your reaches window.
Over and lowers it down and kind of looks at the
I love
for
that.
A second.
Good.
And he kind of looks back at her and she was like, pay the fuck attention and came back. And then we got the drink. And I was like, that was the coolest thing
ever.
My passive aggressiveness worked out. And
I wish
found, again, I found a Tim. That was perfect. Actually, I think that one might have been a Greg.
Nick,
I remember that time you told someone to stop chewing ice in a movie theater, Greg?
It's not at all what happened. It was Doctor Strange opening night, dude, just checking Twitter throughout the entire opening, and then
you should have talked to him. You just went straight to yelling, and it scared everyone.
No, we're not doing this again. Everybody, if you somebody in the comments put here's the podcast where Greg yells about getting yelled at or yelling at somebody, whatever. It's in there. It already exists. There is an unwritten social contract.
No,
I don't need to be.
You're right.
Excuse me, sir. We're 5 minutes into the film we all paid to watch and are very excited for on opening night. Could you please get off of Twitter where you're scrolling Twitter? No, that's I don't need to fucking say that.
You absolutely do. Just to be clear, you absolutely need to say that to someone. You can't just yell in a silent fucking theater and scare everyone, including your friends.
What do you need to do? I was more excited than scared. Get the Twitter account.
I was also excited. We're about to get in a fight.
You got to get the Twitter account to tweet at him and say, sir, stop looking at your phone. Like, we're trying to watch a movie. And he sees it. Oh, shit. A guy with a million followers is tweeting at me right now. This is absolutely insane.
So cool.
Kevin's mixing stories up. I'm not going to name names, but the story he's thinking of is a similar thing where someone was looking at their phone and the person we were with, who was not Greg, took an ice cube from their drink and fucking launched it at their back of their head.
That's a different story, and that is even more aggressive, but Greg did in fact
just get in, right?
Yeah, Sean Finnegan.
I was trying to protect Nick. I wish
Nick Stewartis was as aggressive as mine, because some stewardesses, some airline attendants, they don't... They aren't aggressive enough in telling people to decline their seat, recline, put their seat in the straight forward upright position, whatever. A lot of people, you know, they lay back and they fall asleep on the flight. Mm-hmm. But when you get about 30 minutes close to landing, you gotta, all right, sir, can you move your seat back up, sir? Sir, can you move your seat back up? And that happens all over the flight. Dude in front of me was apparently never told, or maybe just didn't listen. Which is awful when you are trying to put shit back into your backpack. Cause like I'm just like trying to
like face pressed up at like a 45 degree angle.
You're absolute nightmare. And also, you know, as we all know, I take off my shoes during the flight.
Yeah. The weird
disgusting.
One.
Not my socks.
Good for you.
I don't have smelly feet.
I don't know, as much as your socks are picking up all the shit you walk through and everybody else's walk. Somebody pissed and shit in there and fucking vomited and probably came
in that airport lavatory.
Stomps out, they put it there and they scrub their little feet on it and you're like, let me get my toes in there too.
This fucking argument again. Everybody on this call has dealt with people that know dogs and their dog is licking their asshole and then laying in their bed and shit.
Lick my face.
Come on.
I like when the dog does. Licks the face, gives you kisses. We call it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to talk to each other about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you want to talk to us, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write in with your own topics. You could be watching live like Melissa, Mike, and Nick are. And of course, you could get it with the post show we're about to record, where we're going to talk about how either dumb Andy is or dumb the PlayStation Network is. Then we'll have the breakdown from one Fran Mirabella, who went through and found his favorite comments and responses to it. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, no big deal. Of course, support Kind of Funny over on the Epic Game Store with the creator code Kind of Funny, whether you're on PC, Xbox, or PlayStation, or Nintendo, wherever you put in the creator code, even for free games, it helps us out, so please do it. Then, of course, you can get the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Each and every week. Of course, you want to get the post show. You'd have to listen to the ads. You couldn't write in. You want to get it early. Yada, yada, yada. You know that, but you get it for free and have a good time. No matter where you get the show, please consider like, subscribe, share, and rating it. It really helps us out on finding new people to indoctrinate with Nick's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Until next time, we got a post show to do. It's been our pleasure to serve you.